Who's influencing your child today? Do we really know who's having the impact and molding their little minds?
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we're starting a new week of programs. We touch on a topic every week. This week, we want to know who is influencing your child. Our children are so vulnerable to so many things, and that's good and bad. It's good when they can be influenced in the right way, and obviously bad because they can be influenced so negatively as well.
Well, they're very impressionable. I like this fertile little soil taking in all these different things. And we're in a very different time. And I'm sure every generation feels they're in a very different time. But we really are in a different time. I grew up, I'm your parents' age, Ruthie. I grew up in a community in the New York area where the whole community really did raise the child. I grew up in a very ethnic community, and I can't even tell you the number of moms that spanked me while I was growing
really?
Up.
Really?
They were all in.
Oh.
They were all in. Our community was all Italian. I was the only non-Italian, and it was like they added a vowel to the end of my name somehow, and I'm all in, and it was just great. And if a bunch of us were going behind the grocery store to do whatever, there'd be anybody's mom would see us back. They didn't even have to know us. It was a different community, and in that time, there was a sense of responsibility to protect innocence and a sense of responsibility to know you could do that and go after it rather than a hopelessness. And if you were going to get in trouble, you kind of had to go out of your way to get in trouble because it was this community field that the dads built for us and all the houses faced it. Mm-hmm. And so moms could watch you out there playing baseball or playing. We didn't play any soccer back then, but playing whatever we played. And we got it. And the parents got it. But today it's different. Today, you don't have to go out of your way. And today, you don't even have to go out of your room to have impact from outside sources. And children who are so desperately searching for relationship and so desperately searching for significance will listen to a lot of different things and take input from a lot of different places that will mold their little minds as to what is the norm, what should they be doing, what's in, what's cool, do I have to do that to have friends? It's a different time now.
It sure is. I know back then everyone used to play outside a lot more, and there's a fear now, all kinds of reasons why we just don't let our kids play out in the street.
Yeah.
We have to take them to the park, which means it's a humongous family event just to go to the park. So instead, we just say, here's a little controller. Play some video games.
Oh, have fun. Yeah, and I'm not sure what you meant by back then. The way you said it, it was like pre-Civil War time.
Back in the prehistoric era.
Yes, yes.
No, just kidding.
But it was. You know, I'd finish breakfast, go out the front door, and I knew I had to be back for lunch, and there was a bell. My mom had a bell.
Really?
She rang the bell, and I came
back.
But you knew she could call you, but you also knew there were a dozen moms looking out the window watching you. Today, we are either one of two ways as parents. We let them go because we feel there's nothing I can do about it anyway, or we park them in the house and think parked in the house is going to protect them, but they're still devoid of relationship, and they're going to find relationship, and they're going to be impacted by influencers anyway. And we've got to decide, we've got to be all in on this and work with it.
I think our obsession with safety sometimes restricts kids from being able to fully grow up as relational people. You know, go out and have some friends. Get to know your neighbors. What a concept, you know? I mean, I did go outside. I played a lot outside. But for the sake of safety, we say, okay, well, no, because you never know what can happen. Or this is not a good neighborhood. Well, then no neighborhood is good. Granted, there are some bad neighborhoods. I know that. But you're right.
And I think any place there's people can potentially be a bad neighborhood.
True.
I don't care how wealthy the home is. I think the problem is we've mistaken safety for proximity, for physical proximity. Okay, I'm not going to drop my child off at the mall. But sometimes alone in their bedroom with their technology can be just as unsafe, maybe even more unsafe, because it is in the shadows of a computer screen that's not going to be in the mall. No, I wouldn't drop my kids off at the mall. Mm-hmm. I might take my kids to the mall so we can laugh and talk and learn something by watching, you know, taking my daughter to the mall and watching people walk by and what they're dressing and sit down with a soda with my daughter and say, what is she advertising to you today by wearing that?
Right.
I think what we need to know is our children are going to be influenced by somebody or something or someone coming at them. We're told of the billions and billions and billions upon billions of dollars that's spent every year just marketing the teenage child, especially the teenage female. They're coming at them, and they are a great force for purchasing power. But there's other things that are saying to our kids, that's the norm, that's not the norm. As parents, we need to know that. And it's pictorially, it's through text, it's through all these different ways. We've got to decide, okay, I want to make sure I know what's influencing my child so I can jump in. No, you can't put your child in Tupperware and squeeze out all the bad stuff. Not possible. But I have to start with the understanding that I do need to say no. Next week, we're going to talk about the power of no. We'll spend the whole week in the power of no. If I don't have an understanding of the power of no, the problem is I will not put the boundaries up, and my child and I will spend our whole lives frustrated and arguing with each other. But I've got to know what to say no about and what to say yes about, and I've got to back up and say, okay, who has their attention? And we're into the front end of a school year. What are some of the things in a school year that we're going to say no, going to say yes to? What are the communication devices we're going to permit? How much time are we going to allow that? And what's going on in all the areas? We'll talk about a lot of them this week. You know, the texting, the Facebook, the forms of entertainment. And I think a lot of parents today are saying, you know, I give up. What can you do about it? Everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not doing all these things. And everybody doesn't have just free reign with all this technology. I remember speaking at my child's middle school, Tori, your friend Tori's middle school, my oldest daughter. And I remember when I was speaking there, Tori was in eighth grade, and I made the statement that she didn't go to parties yet, cross-gender parties. All she basically did was go to anything to do with church after I made sure it was to do with church.
Right.
But that was her launching in cross-gender areas. But the parties weren't happening yet. We're taking the parties as we're ready for the parties. And one of mine got to do parties in eighth grade, and the other one got to start cross-gender parties in ninth grade. It was just a different child with different preparedness. But I asked them to raise their hands. How many of you here have decided that your child's not going to parties in eighth grade yet? And watch them slowly raise their hands in a little more than half the room. And I think once they saw that other parents were all in on, no, if it's not church, it's not happening yet, gave them a courage and a boldness.
Yes.
But alongside with that, those that had caved were looking around realizing, well, my child had convinced me. I'm the only one that won't be doing that slumber party. I'm the only one. Mom, I'm in eighth grade, and I'm the only one not going to these things. And I think we get beaten down if we don't have a game plan and we conform to the pattern of this world, and we let the other people's kids around us make those decisions. When my son Roby was in 10th grade, a close friend of his was allowed to date, and Roby wasn't. Roby wasn't allowed to date till he was 16. And we had a whole multi-year process of getting to dating. And I remember the friend that was allowed to date who kept saying to Roby, when can you do this? When can we double date? When can we double date? And he'd been dating for a while.
Wow.
And he was spending the night one night at our house, and he asked me why. The friend asked me why in front of Roby, Roby wasn't allowed to date. And I gave this explanation, and he looked at me and he said, wow. And he didn't say, I wish my parents had done that, but in his own way, he kind of did.
Mm-hmm.
And said, I just really respect that. And he didn't use the words that level of involvement.
Right.
But he said it in his own way. And Roby, for the first time, looked over and realized, wow, I do feel protected. Because, you know, it's different out there, and it's weird out there, and it's much more aggressive out there. And girls were calling him for a date. And so it was just weird. And so who's influencing our teens? Do we know that? Do we know that? Are we all in? Are we willing to say, no, you can't do this? Are we willing to discuss some of these things? And are we realizing everything influences them? Sitting there with my children when they were little, watching Sesame Street, and watching what was going on, and I was able to watch four or five of them during a month as I got home early enough, and I sat with Rosemary and I said, look at this. Every single physician, every single attorney, every single dentist is a female. Why do you think that is? And Rosemary is an educator with a graduate degree, and she said, well, I guess they're trying to overcome the culture to this generation to make a statement to this generation, because the previous generations didn't think that a woman could do these jobs. And I said, you know, that's nice, but my children don't know that. My little girl and my little boy don't know they can't do anything called by God. Mm-hmm. So what does my little boy do watching that? Does he say, well, I guess my big sister should be a doctor and I should be a nurse, because that was the role model on Sesame Street? It's the parents' job to counterbalance that. Not watching this show over and over and over and over and over, where all the professionals are female, to counterbalance a cultural flaw from the past, that we've overcome here.
Mm-hmm.
But for a child to watch that over and over. So that was an influence that I decided, you know what, we got to counterbalance this. We got to deal with this, or we got to blow this off the air completely. And praise God for VeggieTales. Now that's become...
They're all vegetables.
That's right. So, and my children don't ever have to worry about being a cucumber or a tomato. So it is balanced, and it's somewhat neutered, interestingly enough, except for the names Larry and Bob. But something's going into the brain.
Yes.
Something's forming them. Something's influencing them. And in America today, it's not the parents.
Hmm. But as a parent, sometimes you just think, okay, I'm going to have as much control as I can. But there are obviously things that you don't have control over. You
right.
don't have control of really what goes on all day long at school.
Right.
And they come home with all these stories, and they come home with mindsets from what they're learning, whether they're in public school or Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
So you, as much as you want to at home, don't you think there's a limit or an arena?
Boundary. I think boundary's good.
Don't you think there's an arena, though, that you can't control? And what do you do with that?
Well, first of all, I think I want to answer that by saying I don't want to control my children. I don't want to control them up until they go. I want to raise them up or train them up in the way they should go.
Hmm, okay.
And I think there is a mindset, and I love the way you asked that question, because I think there's a mindset as you're kind of sitting there representing every mom. And the mindset
Yikes.
Is we want to control them and then hope they're ready when we drop them off on a college campus. Where in reality, we want to train them up with this plan that slowly widens their boundaries mm-hmm. as they go out into life so they are prepared. And the last 2 years of high school in our world was basically an adult internship. Everything you're going to have to do in college, we wanted to do the last few years of high school. But what I want to do is understand, yes, they will go off to school, and I don't care what kind of school it is.
Yeah.
Public school, Christian school, they will go off to school. And if they're being homeschooled and they go to the PE thing with all the other homeschool kids, they're still going to hear other things wherever they are. So where do they download that? Where do they practice? Okay, can I say something? And so one of the things every single broadcast this week we're going to hear safe ears. Are my mom or my dad safe ears for me to say things mm-hmm. to that I heard at school today, rather than my mom going, oh my goodness, I need to make a phone call. I can't believe you heard that. Are we safe ears? Because if you panic, overreact every time, you know what, mom, it's just safer not to. I end up getting a lecture for what somebody else said.
Mm-hmm.
I end up getting a lecture for what you heard from whatever. So, you know, I end up paying the price. You're not safe ears.
Mm.
And so I think I know they're going to hear it. Am I a safe place for my kids to come home and ask those questions? When Roby and I are driving in a car when he was 9 or 10, and I'm taking with me to Orlando to do a parenting seminar, and I would take a child and they'd help me run the book table. It'd be hilarious. And people would end up actually asking them a lot of questions.
Of course.
Yes, which was great. Tori would throw me under the bus every now and then, but Roby was great. It was awesome. But anyway, on the drive up, he asked me, Dad, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He said, and he's 8 or 9 or 10, I can't remember how old, what's a condom? And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. This little boy is sitting next to me. And so I start into this long, elaborate 20-minute explanation while we're on the turnpike driving north. And I look over and he's sound asleep. It's like, Dad.
He just wanted the simple answer.
Yeah, could I just have like the 2-minute thing? I didn't need all the science of it and all the different things involved here. This was the door opener, Dad. Mm-hmm. This wasn't the gopher broke thing. So I think we need to understand there's something influencing our children. And I want to make sure I am an influencer leading them to be influenced by Christ.
So not viewing yourself as a controlling parent, but more as an influencing parent, equipping them to deal with the outside world?
I think that's right. They are, as children, they are going to be influenced by things said in the outside world. I need to be a filter. And when they say those things through the filter, or I check as we look tomorrow on things through that filter, I need to not go crazy. I need to sit and say, let's look at this on Facebook.
Mm.
I saw this on Facebook. Oh, Dad, I didn't. I know you didn't. Let's take a look at it on Facebook and let's talk about it for a minute so that I can help them filter and I can help draw them to Christ. We are responsible to be the greatest influencer pointing them towards Christ in their life, and the world's coming after them. It's our job to be available to our children.
This week we're talking about who is influencing your child on Parenting Today, a daily program with Dr. Bob Barnes of Sheridan House Family Ministries. Tomorrow we'll continue this topic. Hope you can join us for that. And if you want more information about Dr. Bob Barnes, his books, or Sheridan House Family Ministries, just go online to shfm.org. That's shfm.org. You can also sign up for the daily blog at parentingtoday.org.